Journalist Jess McHugh explores the true history of 13 of America's most popular books, chronologically tracing their origins and influence in her new book, Americanon, an unexpected U.S. history in 13 best-selling books. These texts, our symbol dictionaries, spellers, almanacs, and how-to manuals, are unexamined touchstones for American cultures and customs that have established archetypes for the ideal American, from the self-made entrepreneur to the humble farmer. They continue to shape generation after generation, reinforcing which ideals we should fight to uphold and encourage, a uniquely American brand of nationalism that is all too often weaponized to shut down new ideas that could change our nation for the better. It's a fascinating book. Again, it is titled Americanon, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Jess McHugh to the roundtable this morning. Jess, thank you very much for being with us. What a delight to have you on the program.
Thanks so much. I'm happy to be here.
Very nice to have you here. So how did you come to this very unique idea?
Sure. So I kind of became curious about these books, what I call kind of, you know, handbooks for daily life or American Bibles, so to speak, through Webster's Dictionary. And so I, you know, like many journalists, spend a little bit too much time on Twitter. And I noticed that Merriam-Webster was developing this really interesting kind of sassy social media presence, kind of fact-checking political figures, especially in the 2016 election. And I remembered this sort of offhand lecture about Noah Webster, you know, being a born-again Christian, being a nationalist, and really wanting the dictionary to be a national patriotic project. And so I kind of thought to myself, wow, if even the dictionary can be doing something much more than just teaching us about words, perhaps there are other kind of seemingly innocuous books that are also encoding messages about American beliefs and American identity. And the more I looked into it, the more I found that to be the case.
So before we get into the list itself, let's talk about how you got this list down. I assume at the beginning it was more than just 13 books.
Oh, yeah, it definitely was. It took me almost a full year to get it down to 13. It really was a process. I kind of wanted to avoid any sort of regional or kind of my own subjective bias. So I tried to rely pretty heavily on the data, which is to say the kind of sales numbers of books. And I wanted to take books from the full span of American history up until the end of the 20th century. So I really focused on which books sold the best, often in the tens of millions of range. But it certainly was hard to get it down to 13.
Okay, so the 13 books, and we'll get into some of them, but educational tests like Webster's Speller and Dictionary, the McGuffey Readers, which I grew up with, domestic guides such as Emily Post's Etiquette, the Betty Crocker Cookbook, motivational classics like How to Win Friends and Influence People, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. These are not, I guess when I started your book, I was thinking like, oh, well, I'm sure we'll get into like a fascinating novel that would have like Great Gatsby. But you didn't go that route at all. And so these, as you just said, are really interesting because they sort of tell us how to basically live, right?
Exactly. Yeah, they tell us how to be Americans. And I think, you know, as someone who loves books, I certainly love novels. And I think that a lot of them have had a huge effect on our culture. But in some ways, it almost pales in comparison to the effect of a book like the McGuffey Readers or Webster's Speller, that both of them sold upwards of 100 million copies. And again, especially pre-20th century, so many Americans didn't read novels, much less own them. So I really wanted to think about if you were an average American in 1776 or 1836, and you only had one or two or five books, what were those books? And what did they teach you about what it meant to be American?
When it comes to what it meant to be American, I assume that most people didn't pick up these books and say, I'm going to read this book to find out how I can be an American.
Exactly.
It's more subliminal.
Exactly. And I think, you know, often it wasn't subliminal on the part of the authors. You know, someone like McGuffey or someone like Webster really were thinking about, okay, we have this nascent nation. What are...
Did we lose you?
We survived.
Okay. No, you cut out for a second, but go ahead. Yep.
Oh, sure. Sorry. I was going to say, you know, I think, yeah, it might be more subliminal on the part of the readers, but for the authors, it was often quite a conscious decision about what were the best ideas to believe, what were the kind of values that our new nation should have. And I think that's what makes them all the more interesting, is because when you're not really thinking about a text critically about what is this kind of teaching me, it's taken more as authority, it's taken more as fact. And I think that can give it even more additional power.
This got you traveling around as well, didn't it?
Yes, it really did. This is pre-COVID, and I was so glad I was able to do it before the lockdowns. I went to about 9 cities, to all these different kind of far-flung archives, because the Old Farmer's Almanac is up in this small town in Dublin, New Hampshire. The Emily Post Institute is in Burlington, Vermont. General Mills in Minneapolis. So it really set me on this wonderful tour of America, where I got to meet so many people and look at so many texts firsthand, which I always think is the best way.
What surprised you along the way? And because you have your idea, you have your thesis, and then you go to support it with these volumes. So what surprised you? What came in contrast to what you were trying to say?
Sure. Well, there are so many things that surprised me about the American story, but I would also say a lot surprised me about who was writing it. I think, you know, we think that our national story was written by Twain's and the Benjamin Franklin's, and to a certain extent that's true, and I do include, you know, Ben Franklin's autobiography in my book. But I was also curious, and what surprised me was books such as Emily Post's Etiquette, for instance, which really did have this quite profound effect on people who were trying to better themselves and people who were trying to become upwardly mobile in the early 20th century, in the way that this book, which turned into a tool for so many Americans, was written by a woman who was really dealing with her own kind of personal pain and personal suffering and coping with a divorce and trying to earn money. And a lot of what surprised me was kind of the happenstance of American history and the strange coincidences that lead to our shared culture.
Well, it's a fascinating book, and I thank you so much for coming on and talking about it. It is Americanon, an unexpected U.S. history in 13 best-selling books. Jess McHugh, a great pleasure to have you on the program. You're listening to The Roundtable.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.